Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
We continue our examination of Paul's epistle to the Colossians. We are in chapter 3. Chapters 1 and 2 are doctrinal. Chapters 3 and 4 are practical. And Paul is here dealing with just everyday matters of Christian living. How Christians live out their salvation to the glory of God and to the benefit of others in this world until such time as God takes us home to heaven. And he is dealing first and foremost with the home, with marital relationships, with parent-child relationships. And then he moves on to some other close relationships in society. But right now, we are dealing with marriage relationships when we read in Colossians 3:18, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and do not be bitter against them." And it's that last part that I want to talk about on the broadcast today. Do not be bitter against them. We spent quite a bit of time talking about what it means to love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. That divine love, that volitional love, that sacrificial love that is modeled for us by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. A high standard, frankly, an impossible standard, and yet a goal for us to constantly be striving for and casting ourselves upon the mercy and help of God in order to do a better job of loving our wives sacrificially like Christ loved the church. That's our responsibility. That's our duty, men. That's what God expects of us. Husbands, Christian husbands, that's what we're going to give an account for someday as we stand before the Lord and answer for the life that he has given us and the opportunities that he has given us and the instructions, the commandments that he has given us. We are going to answer for how faithfully, how dutifully, how energetically, how willingly, how seriously we carried out, or at least endeavored to carry out, this responsibility to love our wives. I'm sure you understand that it goes without saying that wives also are to love their husbands, but it's interesting. There is no parallel command for wives to love their husbands. The command, which is found more than one time in scriptures, is for the husband to love his wife. We are told in Titus chapter 2 that the older women are to teach the younger women to love their husbands. So obviously God does expect wives to love their husbands, and obviously too this is something that can be taught. It's something we can learn. Again, reinforcing the fact that this is not first and foremost and even primarily or maybe even ever an emotion. I say maybe even never. We would like for it to be, and it's fine if it is. There's nothing wrong with that wonderful, warm, emotional response to your husband or wife that makes you just want to love them, want to please them, want to sacrifice for them, want to do whatever you can to help and encourage them. That's a wonderful thing when you have that warm, wonderful emotion, but dear friends, that's not required in order to be obedient to God. What is required is your obedience. What is required is your willingness to do what you are told to do. What is required is your volitional action in carrying out God's command, regardless of how you feel about it. This is not a matter of feeling. It is a matter of obedience or disobedience. It is a matter of acting, whether you feel like it or not. Wonderfully, I have observed and experienced that when I act obediently in this regard, I generally receive warm emotional response and support in return. But even if that never comes, I still have the responsibility to do this. And it can be learned. If it can be taught, it can be learned. If the older women can teach the younger women to love their husbands, then men can learn to love their wives. And this last part of the verse, I think, helps us with it. Do not be bitter against them. Don't be bitter toward your wife. Don't be, the Greek word is pikros. Bitter, pikros. What does that mean? It sounds like something that's pointed, sharp. Well, that's exactly right. Pikros. Don't be prickly. Don't be bitter. Don't be pikros towards your wife. Harshly reproachful, sharp and resentful. Don't be that way towards your wife. Don't be, let me read it again, harshly reproachful, sharp and resentful. What is harshly reproachful? Well, that means that you're constantly reproaching her, constantly nagging her, constantly, maybe not nagging her, that's usually something that we think of wives doing toward their husbands, but I think it does work the other way around, but constantly berating her, constantly criticizing her, constantly tearing her down, constantly reproaching her. That's what you're not supposed to do. That's what it means to be bitter against her. Don't be sharp with her. Be tender, gentle, kind, gracious, patient are the opposite of bitter, pointed, sharp. Don't be resentful. What does that mean? Well, it's easy for us to get resentful. We have certain expectations in our minds for what we think our wives should be and do. And guess what? Nobody ever lives up to our expectations. And guess what else? We never live up to the expectations of our wives. Did it ever occur to you, mister, that your wife has had certain desires and expectations in regard to a husband, and you have failed those, just like she has failed yours? You say, how do you know that I failed my wife's expectations? How do you know that my wife has failed my expectations? You don't even know me. I know enough about you to know that. What do you know about me? I know that you are a son or a daughter of Adam. I know that you are a sinner. I know that you are not perfect. I know, therefore, that you have failed your mate's expectations in some way or ways. I don't have to know anything about you. I don't have to know you personally to know that that's true. That's true of all of us. That's true of every marriage. Once in a while, you run into some newlywed who says, oh, that's not true in my marriage. My wife is perfect. My wife has met my expectations perfectly. I'm so thankful. I'm glad to hear that, buddy. And I'll just wait and talk to you in about 5 or 10 years. Because that perceived perfection is not going to last. That's honeymoon time, where you're blinded by love. They say love is blind. And you've got these wonderful emotional feelings that are keeping you from viewing things according to reality. But the truth of the matter is that the reason you think your husband or wife is so perfect at this time is because your great emotional love for them is enabling you to overlook their faults. And that's the way it's supposed to be. Nothing wrong with what you're experiencing right now. In fact, there's everything right with it. That's exactly the way it's supposed to be. The Bible tells us that love covers a multitude of sins. And so, you know what, mister? If you have bitterness and resentment toward your wife, if you are being harshly reproachful toward her, guess what? That's evidence that you're not loving your wife the way you should. Because if you were loving her the way Christ loves the church, the way that God requires you to love your wife, then you would not feel that way toward her, or you would not act that way toward her, even if you felt that way, because love covers a multitude of sins. That is, a multitude of failures, a multitude of unmet expectations. Okay? Your wife isn't everything that she ought to be. Your wife isn't everything that you want her to be. Your wife isn't everything that you expected her to be when you married her. Your wife isn't meeting all your needs and fulfilling all of your desires. So what? That's all beside the point. God knew all of that, which is true of every marriage, when he said, "Husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter against them." That means you. That means you. That means your marriage. That means your wife. You are not the exception. Husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter against them. What are some of the symptoms of bitterness? Well, I've already mentioned it. A critical spirit. A critical spirit is evidence of bitterness towards your wife and a failure to love her as you ought. A critical spirit which maximizes every failure and every fault, minimizes what's good, and maximizes every failure and weakness. It ought to be the other way around. Love causes us to maximize everything that's good and to minimize those things which fall short. That's the way Christ is toward the church. Aren't you glad for that? That's the way we are supposed to be toward our husband, toward our wives, and wives towards our husbands as well. But our fallen Adamicness encourages us to do it exactly backwards. Our fallen Adamicness encourages us to do everything backwards of the way it ought to be and the way that God requires. And so when your wife does something good, you tend to think, well, that's just what she's supposed to do. She doesn't get any brownie points for that. This isn't time to clap and cheer. That's just what she was supposed to do. But then when she doesn't meet your expectation, doesn't do what you thought she was supposed to do, well, you're all over her case about that. You are demanding and critical and reproachful and constantly berating her and tearing her down and telling her what she does wrong several times a day. That'll destroy your marriage, mister. Now, your wife may be a godly woman who's going to buckle down and obey the Lord and stay married to you for better or for worse because that's what God told her to do. But you're not going to build a marriage and you're not going to improve your marriage that way. You're going to make it worse. Stop it. Don't be bitter against your wife. One of the characteristics of depravity is found in Romans 3:14, which says, "Whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness." That's describing the depravity of the sinful heart. And one of the symptoms is, "Whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness." Some of you husbands that I'm talking to today fit that description to a T when it comes to your wife. Your mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. You curse your wife, and you berate her, and you're bitter against her, and you are doing just exactly the opposite of what God commands of you in Colossians 3:19, when he says, "Husbands, love your wives, and do not be bitter against them." What causes this kind of bitterness? Failure to love actively in the way that God commands. Having selfish expectations that are impossible to fulfill. Having a wrong relationship with God. Not living in the light of God's word. Not living close to the Lord in fellowship as you ought to. Failure to receive the grace of God, which is given to you to help you with difficult matters, such as wives that aren't fulfilling all of your expectations. That's a difficulty. That's a trial to you. God's grace is sufficient. Did it ever occur to you that maybe one of God's purposes in allowing you to be married to the person you're married to is to advance your sanctification, which advances better under trials than under bounty and blessing? What makes you think that you deserve the perfect wife? The always submissive, obedient, dutiful, and beautiful trophy wife. I mean, the kind of expectations that some people have for their wives, frankly, nobody but Eve before the fall could fulfill. It's impossible for any sinner, even sinners gloriously saved by God's grace, but it's impossible for any human being in this imperfect world, a member of this imperfect race of human beings that are not yet fully sanctified, it's impossible for anybody to fulfill the expectations of some husbands. Some men that I know actually set out to berate their wives and to criticize them for the very purpose of driving them away. They want them to leave. They hope they will leave. But rather than their leaving, they try to drive their wife away for various reasons. Sometimes it's out of hypocritical self-righteousness and false spirituality, trying to follow the directions of 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and knowing that God tells believing husbands not to leave their wives, they will do everything they can to try to force the wife to leave them so they can say, self-righteously, "I didn't leave her, she left me." Yes, but you drove her out. You did your dead-level best to drive her out. God knows that. Quit being such a hypocrite. That's not what God intended. That's not what God was saying. God didn't say, you technically fulfilled the requirement by staying, and it was your wife who left, so therefore I'm pleased with you and displeased with her. No. Nope. God knows your hypocrisy. God knows your conniving. God knows your plan. God knows your failure, your disobedience, your failure to love your wife as Christ loved the church, and your failure to deal with the bitterness that you had against her. God knows all that. You get no brownie points for staying and for her leaving instead of your leaving. You're the cause of her leaving. And God knows that, even if other people don't. You're not getting by with it, and you're certainly not pleasing the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and do not be bitter against them. You say, okay, I hear the word of God, and I submit to it, and I want to obey it. But how do I deal with this resentment, this bitterness that I have in my heart toward my wife? Well, first of all, you start by acknowledging it and confessing it to God as sin. And secondly, you follow it up by acknowledging it and confessing it to your wife as sin. Uh-oh. I can confess it to God, but I can't confess it to her. You've sinned against her just like you've sinned against God. Well, what about all the things she's sinned against me? Well, you let God deal with her about that. It may be that the Holy Spirit of God will convict her about those things, and she will come and confess to you. But even if she doesn't, that's not your responsibility. You're responsible to deal with your wrong, not to deal with her wrong. Got it? You deal with yours. You asked me how to deal with this bitterness and resentment that you had towards your wife, and I'm telling you how. Number one, acknowledge it before God. Repent of it before God. Confess it to God. Ask His cleansing. Ask His help. But number two, acknowledge it to your wife. Confess it to your wife. Ask her forgiveness. Ask her help. Tell her that you failed. Tell her that you have been wrong. Tell her that you are endeavoring by God's help and grace to do differently in the future. Tell her that when you slip and fall into old patterns, that you pray that she will be patient with you and that she will remind you of your commitment to put those ways behind you, and ask her to help you as you commit yourself to obeying the Lord. I'll tell you something else that will be very helpful. Give up all your expectations. The reason that you have resentment towards your wife is because you're expecting certain things of your wife that you really don't have any right to expect. You say, well, I do have a right to expect this. This is what she's supposed to do. That's what she's supposed to do. No. Give them all to God. If God gives you a wife that does those things, that fulfills those needs, that meets those requirements, that's a blessing, that's a bonus, that's a benefit, that's God's gift to you. But you've got to begin by giving all that up and saying, I don't have any rights. The only thing that I have a right to is eternal hell. And I thank God that by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ shed upon the cross of Calvary to pay the price of the sins of all believing sinners, that I will not get what I deserve. I'm thankful that that right is not one that I'm going to have to face. And beyond that, let's just say I don't have any rights except the right to be obedient to God. I've got the right to work on my own relationship with the Lord. I've got the right to worship God myself. I've got the right to confess my sin. I've got the right to ask Him for help with my failures and to forgive me for the mess that I've made out of my life and marriage. And other than that, I give up all my rights. I voluntarily yield them all to God. If He desires to give me a wife that will be easy to love and will help me and fulfill the needs and desires and expectations that I have, well and good. If not, that's okay too. That's okay too. Because my purpose in life is not to get what I want, what I desire, what I think I need. My purpose in life is to glorify God and to become more like Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ gave up all His rights. He had the right to be respected. He had the right to be honored. He had the right to be worshipped. He had the right not to be criticized, not to be hated, not to be scoffed, not to be mistreated, not to be buffeted, not to be plotted against, not to be crucified. He had the right to all those things. He is the perfect Son of God and is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who is the ruler of the universe and the creator of everything in it. This was His right. He gave up all of His rights. And the Bible tells us in Philippians chapter 2, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He gave up all of his rights in order to do the Father's will. and God calls upon me, and God calls upon you, Mr. and Mrs. Wife that's listening to me now. God calls upon all of us to give up all of our rights in order to do the Father's will. What is the Father's will? Husbands, love your wives, and do not be bitter against them. But I can't do that because she... Give up your rights. You have no right except to do the Father's will. Now give up every other right, every other claim, every other expectation, every other demand. Give them all up. The only right you have is the right to obey the Lord. And what the Lord requires of you in regard to your wife is love your wife and do not be bitter against her. And if the Lord's going to use a difficult circumstance to make you more like Christ, praise Him for it. Now, that's not easy, but that's what we should do. Thank God for the difficulties He brings in our lives that will humble us, that will try us, that will cast us upon the mercy of God and make us more dependent upon God, that calls us to cry out to Him for help, for strength, that makes us more like our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's what God does. And God has various ways of sanctifying His children, and He brings various difficulties and trials into our lives. Sometimes it's poor health, sometimes it's difficult finances, sometimes it's wayward children, sometimes it's a difficult marriage. Who said that you have the right not to be involved in a difficult marriage? Why not? What makes you so much better than so many others who've had difficult marriages? So many others of God's children who've had difficult marriages? So many other saints of God who've experienced very difficult marriages? Why are you better than that? Why should you not have to do that? And you see, if you'll adjust your attitude in this way, give up your rights, look at it in an entirely different perspective, it's amazing how immediately your circumstance will seem to be a whole lot better than you thought it was. It may turn out that your wife isn't so impossible after all. It's just that your expectations were impossible. That's right, impossible. And if you'll give them all up and start over, you may find out that God has given you a wonderful wife. But if not, He doesn't have to give you a wonderful wife. You don't have any right to a wonderful wife. That's not a legitimate claim that you have upon God or upon your wife. So, mister, buckle down to the one thing that is required of you, and that is not to make your wife into what you think she ought to be. It is love your wife and be not bitter against her. That's your job. That's your responsibility. That's your task. That's what pleases God. So get to work. May God help us. Until next week, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.